May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 1059. 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure unerring light, on thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright. Hymn 1059. Holy Word of God, we'll read together the Gospel according to John and chapter 13. The Gospel according to John, chapter 13.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. May God bless that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. Most holy and eternal and almighty Lord God of heaven and of earth, we gather ourselves once more in this house of prayer. Lord, we seek thy presence and blessing here this evening as we meet around thy word. Do bless that reading of thy word to us each. Grant us, Lord, that our hearts might be open to receive it. And do, Lord, teach us through the reading and the preaching of thy word those things that we need to learn. Do open up our understanding. Do grant the power of thy Holy Spirit to attend the word, we pray, that it might be applied to us each. Lord, that there might be the power upon the word, that the word may be a living word, a word which will do us good for time and for eternity. Do deliver us, Lord, from the spirit of the world, the spirit of unbelief. Deliver us, Lord, from that indwelling sin, the deceitfulness of our hearts. Deliver us, Lord, from the wisdom of man. Grant, Lord, that thy word may be made food for our souls. Do bless the preaching of the gospel here in this place. Lord, may the simplicity of the gospel, Lord, enter into each heart. Do, Lord, bless the church and congregation here as they meet week by week. Do help thy servants, Lord, as they come in and out among this people. Do, Lord, send them, thy servants, that they might be thy messengers in thy message to the people here. Do, Lord, bless this cause of truth and build them up in their most holy faith. Do add to them such as should be saved. Gather in from this village and surrounding area. Lord, bring into gospel liberty those in the congregation. Grant them, Lord, that love of Christ which constrains, that they might take up their cross and follow thee in the putting on of that open profession. Do, Lord, maintain thy people in their witness in this day and generation. Do supply every need according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we do pray for thy blessing upon the Sunday school. Remember the children, help the teachers. Lord, do follow with thy blessing those things taught this afternoon. And Lord, remember the parents and help and encourage them in the bringing up of their children. Lord, thou knowest the dark and evil day we live in. Thou knowest, Lord, the help that's needed for each to walk according to thy ways in this day and generation. We do pray for thy help. We pray that thou wilt teach us how we should live, how we should respond, how we should act and behave. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt incline our hearts, and Lord, do move us in our desires and our affections. Lord, that we may not have that desire for the world and worldly things. Though we have to have our dealings with the world, though we, Lord, have those things that we must do on a day-to-day basis, yet, Lord, oh, may we be in the world but not of the world. Oh, Lord, may our desires, our ambitions be toward thy great and holy name. Oh, Lord, do help us then, that we may witness that good witness. And Lord, do maintain a living witness here in this village. We do thank thee for all thy goodness and mercy to the friends here over many years. Lord, we thank thee for thy continued work in this place. We do pray that thou wilt continue. Lord, that there might be ever here a seed to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Or that there might ever be a witness to thy honour and glory in this village. There might be to the end of time, Lord, a church gathered in thy name. to honour thee and to glorify thy great and holy name. And so, Lord, we ask thy blessing here. We pray it, Lord, for every hill of Zion, throughout this land and indeed throughout the earth. Lord, we think of the many things in the international scene which cause concern. Those troubles in parts of the world. That uprising in Syria and the trouble in the Middle East and the continued war in Israel and Ukraine. Lord, oh, we do pray that thou wilt bring a lasting peace. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt stop those wars. Lord, it might please thee to grant that peace, we pray. Lord, we ask that thou bring an end to that suffering and bloodshed. Lord, we pray for thy people, Lord, who may be caught up in these things. And we do ask, Lord, that thy blessing might be with them. Lord, there are many that are suffering in one way or another around the earth. Lord, thou seest the power of Satan and his malice. And we do ask, Lord, that thy restraining power might be made known. And Lord, we pray for this nation that thou wilt, Lord, in much wrath remember mercy. Lord, do turn the evil, the tide of evil that sweeps across the country. Oh, do, Lord, make bare thy holy arm. Lord, do bind back Satan. Lord, may thy light and truth shine forth. Lord, do prosper the preaching of the gospel. We do beg thee, and bless the word, thy word, as it goes forth. We think of those that would distribute thy word, those that are translating it into the languages of the earth. We pray, Lord, that there might be much success, Lord, as thy word goes forth, that it shall not return unto thee void. But that it may prosper, it may accomplish that which thou dost please, and prosper in the thing whereto thou dost send it. O Lord, we ask that thou wilt remember our rulers, our leaders, our king, and each in the royal household. We are, Lord, to pray for our leaders, those that have authority over us. We know, Lord, they are not there by chance. They are there by thy appointment. And Lord, we see thy judgments in these things. And yet, Lord, we would cast ourselves on thy mercy. We would seek for thy forgiveness. We would plead that thou look upon our nation in thy mercy and do turn these things for the real good of never dying souls. We ask, Lord, that those evil laws that have been brought in and that are being brought in might be stopped and might be changed. Lord, we pray that this continual slide further and further into sin and away from thy word and from thee may be stopped. And that thou wilt recover and bring back. O Lord, we do pray. We seek, Lord, that many might be humbled and brought to true confession of sin. And Lord, we pray that it may be with us each personally. Oh, we confess our sins of our nation, but Lord, we have all sinned. and we all have come short of thy glory. And Lord, we pray for that true repentance and godly sorrow might be given. And Lord, there might be that evidence of a humble and of a contrite spirit. Oh, thy work within the heart. And so, Lord, we do pray that thy work might appear in us each personally. Lord, that we may have those evidences. Lord, we are fast hastening toward a never-ending eternity. And with some it cannot be long, and with others it may not be long. Lord, we do not know thy will concerning the day, the time of our death. But we know the certainty of it. And we do pray, Lord, that thou prepare us, that it may not be, Lord, that we die in trespasses and in sins, but rather may we die in faith, to die in Christ Jesus, to die in that sure and certain hope, that though we are in a body of sin, yet may we be found looking unto Jesus, as sinners looking for that Saviour, for that cleansing, for that washing, and for that clothing, to be found seeing our own lives as ruined with sin, being brought to seek and find that provision made for needy sinners in thy beloved Son. So, Lord, have mercy upon us. We thank thee that there is mercy with thee, that thou mayest be feared. O Lord, do make that mercy known to each, not just by knowledge in the head, but by sweet experience. May there be that tasting and handling of these precious things. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep each of our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Deliver us, Lord, then from the powers of evil and darkness. Bring us into the light of the glory of the grace of God, and shine with that light into our hearts, that light, life, and liberty might be given. We may have that freedom of the newborn children of God, born again of thy Spirit. For if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Then, Lord, grant us that liberty. And grant us, Lord, that boldness as we come in prayer and in bringing our praises unto thee, that thou art accept us in and through thy dear Son, that thou art take away all our iniquities and receive us graciously, that thou will not deal with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities, but that thou wilt grant us that acceptance in the beloved. And so, Lord, hear us in these things, we pray. Help us in this service. Take us to our homes in peace and safety at the close of this service. And, Lord, abide with us and go with us in every untrodden step of our lives. We ask these things, Lord Jesus, in thy name and for thy sake alone. Amen.
May we now sing hymn 1080. 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. Hymn 1080.
With me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to John chapter 13. With the Lord's help, this evening I'll speak to you from the 7th verse. So the Gospel according to John chapter 13 and the 7th verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." The Gospel according to John chapter 13, In the seventh verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. This is a most remarkable account of the Lord's dealings and teachings with his disciples. You think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, the eternal Son of God, here rising from supper, laying aside his garments, girding himself with a towel, and stooping down and washing the feet of his disciples. You think of it. The Creator washing the feet of his creature. And when we think of this, and the wonder and amazement at the scene, we can understand a little of what Peter says when the Lord came to him, Dost thou wash my feet? Be it far from thee, Lord. It cannot be that thou shouldest stoop and wash my feet. It cannot be. But the Lord says to him, What I do, thou knowest not now. You see, the teaching here is one of, well, it's one of love, a mutual sacrificial love, one toward another of the Lord's dear children. It is that wonderful example of humility, a love to the brethren, a love one to another, so that we would and should be in this frame of mind to wash one another's feet, to allow others to wash our feet. You know, we're so far removed, aren't we? At times we are so far removed from this spirit. But this is the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And he says, doesn't he? Know ye what I have done to you? And he begins to explain what he has just done and why he has done it. And why it was right for Peter, as it were, to allow his Lord and Master to wash his feet. You see, friends, you and I, like Peter, if we are to truly be saved by the Lord, that there has to be more than just the washing of our feet. You see, Peter would not have the Lord lower himself, debase himself in this way. This is not the position of his master, the position his master should take. He should not stoop himself and lower himself in this way to do this menial thing. And yet how much more the Lord Jesus had to do yet. What I do, thou knowest not now. Peter, this is just your feet. Poor sinner, this is just your feet. Your soul is far filthier. Oh, to wash your soul requires much more of a stoop than this. To recover you from your lost, ruined condition, I must go a lot lower than this. Oh, to recover you and to save you with an everlasting salvation, it requires me to sink a lot lower than this. What I do, thou knowest not now. Not the half of it. Not a little of it is really known. Oh, the washing of the feet, he say, well, it's a debasing of himself. Well, how much more? When he had to go right down to the very depths to spread those arms of everlasting love beneath the never dying souls of his dear lost sheep. What about as he washed the filth from all of their never dying souls? The wretchedness and the filth of the heart is nothing in comparison. A few marks on some feet. How do they compare to the great sins of the Church of God? What I do, thou knowest not now. Oh, when that publican stood, some sense of his own sin, could not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is in that very act of confession and a seeking of the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, that desire that the soul might be washed from all its sin. Oh, then we find here that there is much teaching, isn't there? Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Well, the Lord was to immediately interpret to them the teaching of this act of washing. He would go on to tell them what he had done. If I then, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Oh, that willingness to take the lowest place. Oh, that willingness to bear one another's burdens. You know, we don't do feet washing, do we? But there's a principle here. And may the Lord give us each that spirit of teaching regarding the principle which God here sets before us. For I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Oh, that then, the teaching for the Church of God to the end of time. The pattern, the example given, the example of our Lord Jesus here in that washing of the feet. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. But with Peter, there were those things that would be known hereafter. You see, Peter, as we came to the end of that reading, well, the Lord solemnly told him, didn't he? Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You see, Pete had much to learn. And you and I have much to learn. None of us are the finished article, are we? The Lord has begun to teach us, begun to reveal things to us. If he's revealing something of ourselves to ourselves and himself to ourselves, when that work is done, then our days on earth are ended. And every day as it lengthens out, there are things for us to learn. The Lord to instruct us and teach us, reveal to us more and more of our need, more and more of ourselves, more and more of himself, that there might be that growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We think at times like Peter, we're ready. We can do this or that or the other. And yet we find, so much still to be learned. The Lord said in his teachings of his dear children, without me ye can do nothing. And that vital teaching is needed. Is the Lord teaching you? Is the Lord leading you? Is he guiding you? What I do thou knowest not now. I wonder. Are there any here this evening and you have those questions? Why? Things haven't worked out as you thought they might. Why? Things are not according to how you thought they might be. And the question is why? And you don't have the answer. What does it mean? Well, the Lord has a word from the Lord for you tonight. What I do, thou knowest not now. It's not always known. Not at the time. The Lord shuts a door that you expected to open. That the Lord denies requests in prayer. That the Lord withholds things. Right things. Things that are right and proper, but they're withheld. There's a denial of those things. There's a turning of his hand against things. Maybe against what you pray, what you seek for. And our hearts filled with questions. Why? What does it mean? You know, there are those things maybe in your life and you know, I've had them. I go right back to when I was a younger man growing up before I was married and, the things that the Lord seemed to cross my path here and there and I would not listen. I remember my mum saying, there's a voice in these things, and how it frustrated me to hear it. Because I had no desire to hear it. And yet, you know, in the back of my mind, I knew there was a voice. But I didn't want to submit to it. I didn't want to yield. I didn't want to acknowledge it. Because I didn't like the sound of that voice. Because it went against what I wanted. And it cut across my path. You know, what is the Lord doing? Is he frustrating you? Is he touching things that you put your hand to? Why was it yesterday what you did went smoothly? Why today everything you touch seems to unravel? Why was the things that are straightforward one day suddenly become complicated the next? Why are the easy things now becoming difficult? What is it? You know, the Lord teaching is a precious thing. But all there needs to be that working, doesn't there? We know that all things work together for good. But you know that all things, without the grace at work, don't work for good, do they? Plenty of things that are happening in the world around us, you can't see any good coming from it. And, you know, is there any good in it? Well, there'll be good when the Lord sanctifies it. If the Lord is pleased to apply these things, if his voice is heard, if there's a voice speaking, if grace is given to hear that voice and fall under it, to heed the rod and who hath appointed it, if that's it, then, oh, it's working together for our real good. Proves the eternal love of God toward us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and correcteth. Otherwise, it's just trouble, unsanctified. Oh, what does it profit? When the Lord does supply the grace, the working together, the event or the thing, together with the grace given, and the application of these things. Oh, then there's that working together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. You know, I wonder how many have thought of Jonah. You come to the end of the book of Jonah, chapter 4. And you read God prepared a gourd. And that grew up, didn't it, to provide a shelter, a cover, some shade for Jonah from that midday sun. And then God prepared a worm. And that worm smote that gourd. Doest thou well to be angry? Honest with ourselves. How many times in the fiery furnace of affliction or trouble we thought we've done well to be angry, haven't we? Oh, we've at times some of us have given vent to these things. Oh, what a terrible thing. You know these things when they come, how hard they are. We find there's nothing in us by nature that desires the Lord's teaching upon us. No, we'd rather be left alone at times than have his heavy hand upon us. Doest thou well to be angry? No, Jonah said, yea, even unto death. Though when that sun rose and smote him, the gourd having withered, Doest thou well to be angry? God said to him. Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Oh, how these things. Oh, what help we need to be kept. Oh, how quick we are to react to what we see immediately. How we respond irrationally at times. And we question and we reason. Do not interpretations belong unto God? Do we go to him and seek for him to make it known to us? What is it, Lord? What is it? Is there not a cause? We'd rather not hear. What is the Lord? Why has he permitted it? Why has he not prevented it? Why has he let the enemy come in a little? Why has that wall of fire been separated to allow the enemy in? Why has he permitted in his most holy sovereign will these things to happen? Not by chance. Is there not a cause? What I do, thou knowest not now. Well, if you know not now, what are you to do? Oh, how do you reconcile the thoughts that you have? How do you continue if today you don't know why these things have happened, why this has been allowed, why this has been permitted? Oh, how will it be if today the Lord doesn't interpret it and you're left under left to be in Satan's sieve, left under his tempting and teasing and prompting? Oh, will you be like the dear man of God, Job? In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Oh, it's like the dreamland, isn't it, to be in that spirit of Job? Oh, are we ever there? In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Oh, to be borne up on eagle's wings, to be lifted above. Oh, to be kept. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? Kept. You can't keep yourself, but kept by the Lord. Kept from a murmuring spirit. Kept from complaining. Kept from over-questioning. Kept from reasoning. Kept at his feet. Desiring that he would reveal why these things are so. Lord, if there is a voice, if, Lord, thou art speaking to me, oh, give me Samuel's ear. Oh, that I might recognize. Oh, it's all well other people saying there's a voice in it, but if you can't hear it, then it's only man's voice. But oh, to hear, to have Samuel's ear. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Oh, to have that heart prepared to hear what the Lord will say. Oh, to fall under his chastening, to fall under his hand in these things, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, for thou shalt know hereafter, that thou shalt know. No, today may not be. Today may be the proving of you. Today may be the bringing you lower. Today may be the humbling of you in the dust. But there must be, surely. There's always a purpose with when the Lord's at work. Nothing is done haphazard or by chance. It isn't scattered, it is direct, it's purposed, it's ordered. There's a cause and a purpose to it. And there must be, and nevertheless afterward. Oh, it's got to, hasn't it? You say, well, I can't see it today. No, well, there is the prayer of faith, isn't there? Oh, that the Lord will interpret. Oh, that the Lord will sweeten the bitter. Oh, that the Lord will unfold his purposes. That the Lord will accomplish that which he pleases for you. Oh, as he holds you for a season in the fire, in the furnace of affliction. Oh, to have that spirit of submission. To flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and seek for his help. That submission, friends. Oh, you see, that the Lord will have his people pray. And seek for that strength from Jesus Christ. You know, that being held in the furnace of affliction does not put you beyond the reach of the mercy in Jesus. It doesn't prevent it that the all-sufficient grace of our Lord Jesus. It doesn't stop that supply of grace reaching your soul. Oh, the Lord is pleased to hear his children cry, to seek him in that furnace, to seek for his help, for his grace, to endure, to continue, to find that their need of him. Oh, there is that precious supply. There is that looking to him. For succour, for strength, for support. And the Lord Jesus, he has walked a path of submission. Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? We come back to what the Lord did in the washing of the soul from all its sin. In the opening of the fountain, in his own blood, in that opening of that fountain for sin and for uncleanness, for the washing of the never-dying soul, for the purifying of that soul, for the blotting out of every sin. You think of that humble submission of the Lord Jesus. You think of how he suffered under the weight of the church's sin. How he humbled himself to become that sin bearer. How he lowered himself and was loaded with that great mountain of sin as that burden bearer. You think of his holy will and determination to honour and glorify his Father. To save his people from their sins. You think of his holy determination. He set as his face as a flint steadfast towards Jerusalem, he went up with what lay before him. He did not turn away from it, but he took it all. And yet it came, didn't it, with such cost. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, there, friends, is the humble submission. The humble submission to the will of God. What a beautiful picture. What a wonderful pattern. What a glorious example. Oh, may you and I draw strength from that. Oh, that which Christ Jesus did for poor, needy sinners. In not declining that load, but receiving sinners to himself. Taking upon himself their sin. Making himself accountable for it. Being brought, being judged. Bearing that price, taking that punishment, that they might be set free, they might be passed by, they might be delivered from it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, what I do thou knowest not now. I wonder, is that what the Lord is doing for you? Is that what he's making known to you? You know how often we can misinterpret. You know, I could take you back to a time in my life when I was utterly convinced that the Lord was revealing that I was destined for an eternity in hell. Seemed like he was just clearly showing me I was eternally reprobate, lost forever. You know, I had a view of his dealings, and all of it, to me, from where I stood that day, had condemnation written over it. And you know, I couldn't see the eternal love of God toward my never dying soul. It was there. It was there. I couldn't believe it. It was unthinkable, but it was there. I just could not see it. All I could see was condemnation. What I do, thou knowest not now. Oh, is the Lord, is he revealing his secret love toward you? He says, is this the way you'd show it? Show me my wretchedness, my sinfulness, my unworthiness, my shame. Is that the way he reveals his secret love toward a sinner? Oh, I thought it might be in some other wonderful way. Thought he might shine some light and love and liberty into my heart. Could I receive it until my heart was broken and contrite before him? Can you? Or can you value and esteem the precious blood of Jesus without knowing something of the depravity of your sinful heart? Can you value and highly prize the life and death of Jesus Christ if you're not aware of something of your wickedness and wretchedness and unworthiness? Hell deserving sinners brought to see the mercy of God. What I do, thou knowest not now. Oh, I thought he was pushing me away. With everlasting love, I've drawn thee. Oh, I thought he was shutting every door. Rather, he was shepherding me into the sheepfold, bringing me into the sheepfold, his fold, to be numbered among his sheep. The secret love of God to be revealed. Oh, that bubbling up in the heart of an unbeliever. What I do, thou knowest not now. Oh, our friends, this is the Lord doing. Oh, today it's a worm. Oh, today it's that whirlwind going through your life. Oh, today it's the stripping out of this. It's the removal of that prop. Today it's the denying of that prayer. It's the unanswered prayer on this day. What's he doing? Bringing you down. Bringing you a little lower. To make you sick of self, that you might be fond of him. Oh, is he giving you every reason to see why he shouldn't have mercy on you? Do you have to acknowledge, is he bringing you to see something of every reason why you shouldn't have a place among the living family of God? Why would he do that? Oh, that you might truly acknowledge the sovereign free choice and mercy of Almighty God. Oh, to see no merit, no worth in self. To see it all in the holy will and mind of God. Sovereign free choice. To pluck a brand from the burning. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Oh, you see, there are things that we may not know today. Things that trouble you today. Oh, maybe there are those things that are denied today. And you say, well, this isn't in connection with my soul. This is something else, some other matter. Why? Why has the Lord not given it? Why has the Lord not permitted it? Why has it not come to pass? What I do, thou knowest not now. Well, you know, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Oh, we think this is the way the Lord will be. This is the way his will will be for us. This is the purpose he's working out. Oh, we see a little bit of what we have in view. We don't see, as it were, the bigger picture. We don't see all the fine threads in the great needlework, the pattern. We see our little bit and it seems confusion. We don't view it from his view. He sees the whole thing and it's all working out his purposes. Then we can't understand it. Why our little part, our little thing hasn't fallen into place. Oh, but do we then, are we able to then fall into the hands of a living God? To cast ourselves upon him? Oh, to offer up, to acknowledge that he has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. Oh, do we have that submission to his holy will? Oh, to truly offer up on the sacrifice, render unto the Lord all. What thy wisdom sees most fit, surely, must be best for me. Oh, to see it all in the light that he's too good to err. Too good to be unkind. He's too wise to err. Too good to be unkind. My mind went to a hymn, number 7. And we have in that verse 5, what though I can't his going see, nor all his footsteps find, too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. You can't make it out, can you? You can't work out where he's leading. You can't see him, trace him out. Oh, like Job, you're looking on the right hand and you cannot find him. On the left hand where he doth work, but you cannot perceive him. He's hiding his purposes. He's withholding his intentions, maybe. Maybe he's intimated something, but you've looked the wrong direction. You've taken 2 steps and you've come to a conclusion. Now the Lord is saying, not so. Oh, but how is it? Oh, to fall into his hands, to confess, to seek for his help, that he'll help us, help us to submit to his holy sovereign will. You know, there's one of the dear friends at Attleborough, Mrs. McPherson, she used to quote this often: thy whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. You know how many times we thought we'd mix our own purposes with the Lord. We'd add him in, as it were. We've got something mapped out and we can't make it happen, but we add him in, bring him in to our scheme. Bring him in and ask him to, and tell him to do what we want him to do for us. You see, that's not how he works. Oh, he is to be the all and in all. Oh, it must be him from start to finish. Thy whole dependence, the whole dependence on me fix, nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. Oh, the lessons we must learn, the teachings that we need, the grace that we need of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ to be in us, is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, that humbleness of mind. Oh, the willingness to do the will of the Father, to be made willing to submit, to acquiesce to his will, to recognize in ourselves the weakness, the foolishness. We lack wisdom, we lack grace, we lack understanding, we have no foresight, we cannot interpret often what's happened. We lack in so many ways, but to see in him every need, all our deficiencies so beautifully met in him, in a perfect Saviour, one who's able to keep, to uphold, to supply the grace, to give the strength, and to uphold in the path, in that walking out of a path. We must come to a close, but We read in Acts, we read there that when they had preached the gospel to that city, this is Acts 14 verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again through Lystra to Iconium, Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, there is the tribulations. There is the warfare within and without. But there's that pressing toward the mark. There's that looking unto Jesus in that pressing toward the mark. There's that forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Be made willing, oh, to humble ourselves, to offer all unto him who loved us and gave himself for us. Oh, then to have that submission, that resignation, the quietness and the contentment, and the godliness with contentment, which is great gain. Oh, to seek the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, to wait for his appearing, wait for him to interpret, wait for him to make it plain. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. May God and his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will expect you to preach on Friday evening and next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hold their Christmas service on Saturday evening. Let us close with hymn 1095. Dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? Hymn 1095.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.